Hi, and welcome to the Church Unlimited podcast. Church Unlimited is a vibrant, Bible-based church in North Lakes, Queensland that is passionate about helping people discover the genuine love of Jesus. If you're currently looking for a home church, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship. For more information about our Sunday service or to find out how we can best help you, head to our website at churchunlimited.com.au. We hope you enjoy this message from Sunday service.
Hey, tonight we're continuing our Church on Mission series. And it's all based out of the idea that we are not called to come and sit in great church services. We're not called to just be known for our singing of songs, but we're called to be a part of the mission that Jesus established and he has invited us to continue. It began when he said the very first time, "Would you come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, if you're a regular attender of our services, this could be up to the eighth time that you've heard this introduction in all of its various iterations. So I'm hoping that you understand where we're going with this already, where Jesus said, "Come, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Come speaks of a moment of encounter where we could know God personally. It's as we know him, as we know who we are in him, that we grow in our understanding of our identity in Christ. And then he says, "Follow me, belong with me, go on a journey with me, walk with me, follow me, belong in my family." Because church is about a community. Hey, Ray, you've been over on the drums, but I just feel like it was a long way away. Belong in my family. We prioritize community because we don't follow Jesus by ourselves. Inevitably, you'll find that as you're following after Jesus, you will find yourself surrounded by people who are doing exactly the same thing. So we follow Jesus in community. He's called us to do it together. He says, "I'll make you. I'm going to grow to be like you. We're going to go on a discipleship journey." The ultimate goal is that we would be more like Jesus. "I will make you fishers." There's purpose. "I'm going to do something. I'm not just going to be like Jesus. I'm actually going to start to do what Jesus did." There's purpose to my life. There's purpose to my fellowship. There's purpose to the way that he has called me to my discipleship. And then he says, "Fishers of men." I'm not just going to do a job. It's actually going to be people orientated. He's called me to preach the gospel to the people around me, to go into all the world and declare the good news, the salvation in Jesus Christ. So we're going to tell people about Jesus. So at Church Unlimited, we believe that every single one of us is called to know him, to belong in his family, to grow to be like him, to serve others, and to tell others about him as well. So today, I am preaching on telling. No, I'm not. That's next week. I'm preaching on serving him. I'm good at this, right? But I just think that this is the inevitable outcome of following Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we cannot help but become more and more like Jesus. We can't grow to be more like Jesus' discipleship without learning to act more like Jesus, serving. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, serving others and giving his life as a ransom for many." Jesus' ministry was identified by service. He came to serve. We will learn and grow in our serving of others. It's who we are. And I'm not speaking about service tonight because, as Ray would have said this morning, this is not a recruitment drive. I'm not preaching this topic because I want to get you on team or to get you to do something for me. I'm preaching this message because really I want to get something to you. I want to get a change of heart to you because, well, in my own words, you weren't made to be this selfish black hole of taking, taking, taking. The world, actually, that's the message that the world sends to a lot of us these days. You were made to get the best that you can for yourself. But the Bible says it's actually better that we learn to give than receive. That's a spiritual principle that's true in every situation. And I'm hoping that just a little bit more tonight, you would understand it. You'd learn to live according to it. And actually, you'd experience it to be true that it really is better as I learn to give rather than seek to receive. Because we were made to be like Jesus. We were made to live like Jesus. We were made to serve others, refresh others, to give our life for others. And it's as we learn to live like this that I think we experience the truth of God's kingdom for us. I know as you start to move in this direction with your life, you're going to find it to be true. And it'll just inspire you to more and more live like that. I mean, Pastor Ray's message this morning was just a great, I suppose really is unpacking what it really means it's better to give than receive, right? He was talking about what happens in our life as we learn to live a life of service. He's talking about how we'll actually become more like Jesus ourselves. We'll grow because of it. He says we'll grow in our faith because of it as well. We'll actually, as we expect and as we participate in a move of God, we're actually going to see him move through what we do, and our faith will grow. Our testimony will grow. Our expectation to see God move more and more increases as we learn to participate in what he's doing. But then on top of that, we find ourselves surrounded by people of faith. We can do great things together as we just begin the habit of serving, as we begin the habit of giving, as we begin the habit of standing together as a community of faith and saying, this is what we can do. And can you imagine what God can do through a people that just decide that that's who we are? That's how we're going to live. So if you're ever in the place that you feel that you don't need to serve, just jump on YouTube and go and listen to that message. It'll challenge that. It'll confront you, and it'll actually encourage you to live a life that's orientated towards serving others. But tonight, I want to go in a completely different direction. Still on the same topic, but a different approach. Because it's one thing, I suppose. It's one thing to know that I should serve. And even as I'm telling you this right now, I've been unpacking the call to serve. You know what I see? Smiling, nodding faces. I'm preaching to the choir. We all know it. It's better to give than receive. We all know it. God made me to serve. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to actually do it. And this is where, as a church leader and as a pastor, good news, I'm here to help. I'm here to help you to start to put intention into action. The idea into practice, because I really believe that every single one of us has something to give. Every single one of us has opportunities to serve. Every single one of us was called by God. He knows exactly who you are, how he made you to be, and what he made you good at for a reason. And as we start to see it, we can start to live it. And so tonight I want to open your eyes a little bit to the ways that God has made us all able to serve. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul writes and he says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I started with that verse because really I think that's the beginning of our identity in following Jesus and learning to serve. Paul writes and he says, do good to everyone, serve everyone, especially amongst the church. Now suddenly you're like, lights are flickering. This really is like a recruit for the team message, isn't it? It's not. But it's a simple truth. When he said, especially in the church, I think what he means is he says that we start or we learn or we grow in the context of family. You know, when I was a child, I learned who I was. I learned what we did. I learned how I live within the context of my family. You know, I learned how to work from watching my dad. I learned how to work and serve and give by watching my parents and my family and doing what my family did. You know, I learned a work ethic. I learned by doing chores and having responsibilities. I learned a bit of endurance. I learned how to do hard things and to get stuff done, Ron. And I learned that in the context of my family, because I think that's where we learn who we are. In the idea of my Christian faith, in the idea of following after Jesus, the best place to start to learn to do the work of Christ, the best place to start to learn to walk the walk of Christ, is in the context of his family. It's as we start to live in our church family, as we start to watch our brothers and sisters, it's as we start to look at our leaders and learn to imitate them. Paul wrote and said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. This is the perfect place for us to learn to put into practice who we've been made to be. So it's not a recruitment drive, but to be honest, just if I would talk bluntly for a minute, it's not a recruitment drive. But if you're not playing a part on team, it's time. Do you know who the only person that doesn't have responsibilities in my family? Tessa. And she only gets away with it because she's cute. You might have seen her come running in the middle of work. Daddy, daddy, daddy. That's how she pays her ride. Cuteness. But none of you all are that cute. But if you haven't joined a team, if you haven't stepped into the family life, if you haven't realized, man, I've got something that I could contribute here, because we all do. And we work like a family and we live like a family. We all have a part to play. If you haven't realized it, let me just tell you, it's time. You could start small. You could join a team. You could smile at someone. But I think here in the house of God is the place that we learn the habits and the culture. We learn the practices. We learn the life that we will live, not just here on Sundays, because this is not the be-all and end-all of my life, but I learn who I am so I can take it into my Mondays. I learn how to behave here so I can take it into my workplace. I learn how I can give here and forgive here and be generous here. I learn how I can sacrifice myself here so I can do it in the world around me. So it's time to start. But I think so many people want to start, but don't know how to start, don't know where to start, don't even think they have anything to offer. I think maybe you look around at church and you think, oh, I could never sing like Hanawai and Emily, so I won't try. You know, I reckon there's people that think that and don't even sing in the seats because they think I'm not talented enough. If I can sing in the seats, you can sing in the seats. I think people look and think I can't clap like Dan during worship, and so I don't even try. And even if you do, you just do vanilla boring clapping. But isn't it easy for us to compare to people that we think have so much more than us, more to give, more to say, more to do? And so we just step back. Now, even as this afternoon, as I was just preparing and praying, I was reminded of the parable of the talents. Now, I'm not preaching from this message, but you could. But isn't it just a simple story where God says, I gave three servants talents. To one I gave five, to one I gave two, and to one I gave one. And then I went away. But I came back and I said, how did you go? What did you do serving me with everything that I gave you? And you know, at no point was the conversation between the master and the servants about how much he'd given them. At no point was it about the size of their talents. It was actually just about what they did with everything that he'd given them. The servant with one talent had just as much opportunity to please the master as the one with five. He just didn't. Because he compared and he contrasted and he looked at the master and he looked at what he had and he looked at what he could do with it and he said, it's not worth it. I won't. I'll just keep it safe and I'll give it back later on. And to that person, he warned and said, no. That's not how we do it. To the ones that served, to the ones that followed the instructions of the master, he said, well done, good faithful servant. Why don't you come and enter into your reward? Why don't you come and be with me and experience my joy? We experience the joy of God as we learn to live according to his ways. And so often it's connected to this idea of how do we serve? How do we give? How do we steward everything that he has given to us? So I hope tonight, as you understand a little bit more about what you have to serve, maybe you'd start to use it. You might use it here in church. You might use it amongst your family. You might use it in your workplace. Here's my prayer, that you would just start, or you would grow in your capacity to serve and to refresh others. You would grow in your generosity, seeing that you have more to give than you ever imagined. I hope that it's going to transform not only our church, but our community. Because I think serving others is one of the most powerful ways that we can preach the gospel outside of these walls. Serving others is being generous towards them, being sacrificial towards them, thinking of them more highly than we think of ourselves is probably the best outreach activity we could ever do. Because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that calls people to salvation. And they're going to experience his goodness through his body, through his children. They are going to experience the goodness of God through you as you're generous towards them, as you're forgiving towards them, as you're kind towards them, as you're sacrificial towards them. Every single one of us has so much more opportunity than we ever imagined to practically love, to practically serve, and practically be generous towards the people around us. I've come up with
seven ways that we can all be generous in our life, all that we can all serve the people around us. I've given you a number so you know I'm working to a deadline. You can start to tick them off. You might start to add to them as well. You can come and say, Dan, next time you preach this message, 10, because I've come up with three extra ones. But what do I want you to do? I want you to start to think, God, what have you given me that I can use to serve and refresh others? Because your whole ministry was defined by service. And you've called me to be just like you. So I don't want to forget. I don't want to lose sight of. I don't want to overlook opportunities that you've given me. Actually, I want to start to use it. And even if it's small, even if it's only one talent, God, I know that one talent with you is more than enough. So if I just start to use it, you could do incredible things through me. Now, this is not high-level thinking, but we'll move quickly. Cheer along. It'll be great. But here's the first thing that you could do to serve others. You could just practically help them. Let's see, have we got that? My abilities. That's what I called it. You could serve them by using your abilities, doing stuff. You could do stuff for them. Do you know, Jesus is telling a parable about what it would be like to enter into his kingdom. And he talks about sheep and goats, some people that will be in and some people will be out. And he says these words, Matthew 25:40. He says, the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. He's talking about clothing those that need clothes, feeding the hungry, giving them shelter. Jesus says every time we practically express with what we have, his love and his goodness, his grace and his mercy, it's like we're doing it to him. I think so often we see opportunity that we could do something about, and we don't. We tell ourselves this simple little lie. It's not my job. Someone else will do it. It's not my responsibility. Jesus told a whole parable about this when he's talking about loving your neighbor. It's a parable of the Good Samaritan, right? It says there's a guy that's being beat up and left on the side of the road. It says a priest. Now, this guy should be the most holy and Christ-like person you've ever met. But what does he say? He says, ooh, no, that guy might disqualify me from my service from God. He walks to the other side of the road and he walks around it because it's not my job and I shouldn't have to do it. Then a Levite comes past, somebody who's called to serve in the house of God, and he does exactly the same thing. But a Samaritan, somebody who is far from God, unworthy to even enter into his presence, serves this broken man. And God, Jesus says, that's what it looks like to love the people around you. Have there been times in your life when God's brought a need in front of you, something that you could do something about, but you've responded, it's not my job. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. And I'm not talking big things. Start small and work your way up. You could be at work and you saw dishes in the lunchroom and you said, it's not my job. I know somebody else put them there. Why would I clean them? Could be emptying the bins here at church. It's not my job. One of those host team people will come and get that. Could be somebody that needs help moving house. Could be somebody stuck in a broken down car on the side of the road. Not my job. I did that the other day. I stopped. I saw a lady in a broken down car. And I was like, I'll just stop and see if she needs help. Surely other people will help me. They did not. And so here's me trying to do a solo push of a broken down Ford Forester up a hill on Anzac Avenue. And I need you to know I got it done. But how often and how easy is it for us to say, you know what? That's not my responsibility. Someone else will do it. And in doing so, we lose an opportunity to serve the people around us. You know, just today, I walked out of church on after our 10:45 service. And I went to go into the upstairs office. And I saw this funny little sign out the front of one of our toilets. Now, this is important because you need to understand we only have four toilets total in our whole building. And what do I see? Toilet out of service. And I almost went, it's not my job. But then I was convicted because I'm going to speak about serving, right? How can I do this? And so I'll just have a look because this represents 25% of our total toilet capacity, and that's significant. And I was like, you know what you do? You press flush. And I know it's out, it's clogged, it just fills up. But then I was like, you know what? There's a cleaning room just next door. It's like 3 meters away from me. And I found this magic implement that the toilet fairies use. It's called a plunger. And I just went, crisis solved, toilet back in. But how often could you walk past something like that and just go, that's not my job? Maybe it's somebody that's hungry or somebody that needs a lift. Maybe it's somebody that just needs a bit of encouragement. Maybe it's somebody that you know, I have everything that I need to help them. It's not my job. The simplest place to start in serving others is with this mindset. If it has to be, it's up to me. If I see something that needs to be done and I can do it, maybe I just will. Regardless of who should do it, regardless of other people that might be better qualified, just because I can, because God has called me to serve others, if I see an opportunity, I'll just do it. I think there's so many real, powerful, genuine ways for us to serve others and preach the gospel if we just decide. If I can do it, I will. So I'm going to serve God with my abilities. I'm going to do some stuff. All right, the second thing I've got. What did I say? My belongings, my things. Luke chapter 3, verse 11, John replied and said, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. And if you have food, share it with those who are hungry. If you've got more than you need, maybe you could use it to serve others. In Matthew 5:42, Jesus says, give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow from you. I reckon if our society is going to be known for anything, it's probably for having too much stuff. We got cars, we got clothes, we got toys, we got shoes. You know, I hear there's some people that just have rooms dedicated to collecting shoes. That's ridiculous, right? We've got more, so much more than we ever need. And that's just the luxury items. Think of the practical things that we have just sitting around in our own house, just waiting for me to maybe use it. The book of Acts describes the early church and it says this, they gave to any as they have need. What if you started to see the thing, even just the things that you have, as an opportunity to serve and to bless others? You know, I'm mindful. I'm currently renovating my third house right now. Now, I've never been a tradesman, and I'm clearly not that talented, but what I have done is accumulated a particular set of tools. I know. Nobody got the reference except for some old coaches down the front. But you know what I realize? I'm hardly ever using them, but I can lend them out when people need them. And I'm always happy to do that so long as they come back. But what are you sitting on? Or what's sitting in your cupboard? Or just in the garage or in a shed or somewhere that, you know, to be honest, you could use to help somebody else. It would cost you nothing. It would be so easy to do, but it could be all the difference for somebody that has need. The Bible says, don't store up for yourself treasures here. Use it to create for yourself treasures in heaven. I reckon some of the best investment opportunities, the spiritual investment opportunities that we have, are probably just sitting in a cupboard at home. Just in case I need it one day. What if I started to see everything that I had as an opportunity to serve the people around me? I know it's simple, but it's real for the person that needs it. For the person that needs clothes, my wardrobe is a luxury. For somebody that needs shoes, don't tell them what Leo's got. But can you see, we laugh about it, right? But what if we started to say, God, with everything that you've blessed me with, could I use it to help some people? We will never lose out. We'll never miss out when we start to trust our Father like that and be obedient to who he's called us to be. Make it available to serve others. The third thing that we can use to serve the people around us is our time. This speaks of being in community. And we are great at it here at Church Unlimited. But I think sometimes we can fall into this trap of having just this time for community. You know, Sunday, I'm at the 5 p.m. and that's when I'll see people. This is the time that I have for small groups. This is the time that I serve on team. And what happens is we start to fill our life so much that we have no room for anybody else. You know, the Bible speaks about, when it speaks about finances, it says that the borrower is servant to the lender. When we overextend ourselves financially, we enslave ourselves to those who we took from. But in some ways, we almost do the same with our time. I so commit myself and I overcommit myself that I end up with no margin and I end up with nothing left to give. So even though I have a desire to serve, even though I have a desire to be generous, I'm confronted when I look at my calendar and realize that, to be honest, there's nothing left to give to anybody else. There's no margin for you. In Romans 12:10, Paul says, be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. It's very difficult to be devoted to people if I have no time for people. Do you know what it's like to feel time poor? You probably do. Here's the thing, and you've heard it before. We all have exactly the same amount of time. But what we use to consume it matters. How often, how we prioritize it matters. What I do with my time matters. I think so often I find my life, and when I'm talking about my time, I'm just talking about my life. I find it so consumed by what I need. I need this time. I have to give this time at work, and then I need this time for my sport and my exercise and my people and my family. And I completely commit my life and overcommit my life to the point where I have absolutely nothing time-wise to give to people. How can I say that I care about people if I don't create any space for them in my life? How can I say that I'm willing and able to love you if I need you to come back and do it in 6 weeks' time when I have some time available? My time matters. It matters when it comes to serving people. And I think one of the most generous ways that we can start to prioritize serving others is start to prioritize a little bit of time for it in our lives. Because as I make space, I'll be able to use it. I mean, I love my son Oscar. He is awesome. He's incredible, right? He recently lost another tooth. And this time the tooth fairy remembered to show up on time and deposited 2 coins, despite the fact that he lost his tooth, even though his dad said, don't lose your tooth. It's not a sore point. And the minute he had this tooth fairy money, right, $2, he's like, Dad, let's go to the shops. Because if he's got money, it's there to spend. And I love it. It's awesome, right? But that's what you would be like if you realize suddenly, oh, I've got a bit of time. I wonder how I could use it. You wouldn't find yourself missing out. You'd actually find that there's so many opportunities for you to use that in ways that are valuable for you and valuable for the people around you. What if you started to say, hey, I've got 2 hours. What could I do to encourage somebody? What could I do to connect with somebody? What could I do to serve somebody else? Because I've created this incredible opportunity. 2 hours. It could transform somebody's life. Using my time matters. All right, let's get spiritual for a minute. The fourth thing that I could do is pray or provide spiritual support. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I'm sure we all believe that prayer is powerful and effective. So I won't stay here long. But let me ask you a question, and I expect you to think about it for yourself. Do you believe that prayer really makes a difference? Do you believe it? Do you live like it? How often are you known for saying, when somebody says, oh, I just need something, and you go, I'll pray about it. The answered part of that is, I'll pray about it later. I pray about it maybe. I'll pray about it if I remember. I'll be glad when you tell me that it's... What if you started to change that from I'll pray about it to let's pray about it now? What if we started to act like, you know what, when 2 or 3 are gathered, Jesus is here and everything we ask for according to his name is yes and amen. What if we started to state we will pray? What if when somebody's telling you about a need, really they're just inviting, hey, I just need somebody with faith to stand with me. We're going to believe in every promise is yes and amen. That would complete, if you just got in the habit of let's pray now, it could completely transform so many things. Standing with someone in prayer is a powerful way to serve. Maybe you're nervous about what to say. Don't worry, it doesn't have to be fancy. Maybe you think they don't want me to pray. They're telling you about it. They do. Who's going to say no? Especially, you know what? This works in church all the time. You can pray for people. But you'd be surprised how often when somebody told you about something happening in their life at work, and you said, hey, do you want me to pray about it? We don't have to be weird right now, but I'm going to go and pray and believe it. Do you think most times they'll say yes? Yeah, just pray, because I need something. And now you have an opportunity from this simple act of serving to see a testimony of God's goodness come about. Yeah. Would you just decide, I will pray? Number five, I will care. I can serve people by caring. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Now, I'm sure you haven't done this, but have you ever found yourself in the middle of a conversation, realize it a little way and you have no idea what the conversation's actually about? You know, like people could be telling you something important and then you're like, sorry, what? What's happened is I've been in a conversation, but I've started thinking about something else because, to be honest, I didn't really care. Now, you've probably not done that. But have you ever been in a conversation where you're telling somebody something important in your life and you can just tell from their eyes and the way they're standing that they're just waiting for this conversation to be done, or they're thinking about somebody else, or they're looking at the conversation that they really want to have and it's happening over there and you kind of just peter out and go away? They're there, but they're not really there. They're there, but they don't care. We live in a careless society where people are so consumed by themselves that even as you're telling them about something that you need, they can be consumed by everything that they need. Can I just give you this simple idea? Caring is free. It takes no extra time. It costs no money, but it is an absolutely brilliant and generous way to serve the people around you. You could try just by starting to stop and actually listening and responding with care. Because to be honest, sometimes they're not even looking for you to do something. They're just looking for somebody that will connect and identify in that moment. They're looking for somebody that says, oh, wow, like that must be really hard. How are you going? Do you know you can transform relationships just by hearing about something that was happening in their life and then next week asking, how's that going? Because it didn't require anything from me beyond the fact that I might care to remember. Every single one of us has this opportunity to stop and to genuinely care for the people around us. I love there's this little story in the Bible. It's in the book of Acts. And I mostly remember it because it was a kid's song, and a lot of my theology comes out of children's songs. And annoyingly, the kids' songs have changed for my children's generation, and they don't know that they're all wrong. But this one was about Peter and John who went to pray and they met a lame man along the way who asked for alms and held out his palms. And then listened to what Peter did say. That's how you remember it. But when you go back and study it, it says that Peter and John were going to the temple because it was the time to pray. And then they saw a lame man as they walked to the temple. Now, you've got to understand that this guy had probably been there every day for the last 5 years, asking for money. That was his job. That's what he did. He couldn't work for himself. So I'm a beggar. That's what I do. I beg. And so you've got Peter and John had probably walked past this guy multiple times a week, day after day after day. To be honest, he was probably as normal as the furniture. Just, all right, and he's there too. But then it says, and Peter saw him. Now, it's not that he had seen him for the first time, but he actually saw the man in that moment. And what he saw was a person with a need. And attached to that idea is you might also say Peter cared for him in that moment. He wasn't just somebody that was on the route every day. He was a person there with a need. And so Peter responded to him. So it's this picture of Peter seeing, caring, and stopping, creating a moment for a conversation. And from that, there was healing and salvation. What could happen if you decided in any moment, it could be mundane and normal, I'm going to stop and I'm going to care. I'm going to invite you to speak to me and see how out of that a serving opportunity will grow. It transformed his life. It could transform the life of so many people if God's people would stop and care. I think that's so powerful. All right, number six. I can serve people with my words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Great. Let's be encouraging with our words. In 1 Corinthians 4:13, Paul says, the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. Your words are one of the most powerful ways that you have to serve the people around you. The Bible says that our words have the power of life and death, that they can build up and they can tear down. Yet we use them so thoughtlessly. What if you started to use your words intentionally, thoughtfully, even spiritually? Paul writes when he's writing to the church in Corinth, he says, I wish you all prayed in tongues. I want that. But more than that, I wish that you would prophesy. Because prophecy builds up the church. And this is where he says prophecy strengthens and encourages and comforts. And sometimes I think we get put off by this idea of prophecy. Oh, I'm not a prophet. I don't speak on behalf of God. And we carry this picture of prophecy as just walking into the room and saying, thus saith the Lord, Ray. But that's not how Paul describes it at all. He says prophecy is when I use my words, I encourage and I strengthen and I comfort. What am I saying? I'm saying, Holy Spirit, in this moment, what could I say to them that's in line with your words? What could I say that would encourage and strengthen them, to build them up and place faith within them? When I think about strengthening, building up, increasing, seeing what's already there and calling it higher. Man, you've got such an incredible gift on your life. You should start to use it. Like you could prophesy over somebody just by hearing them sing in the seats around you and being like, you know what? God's given you a gift to sing. Have you thought about using it more? I'm strengthening what's already there. Encouraging or stirring somebody up is seeing what's there even though they don't know it and encouraging it more and more and more. I'm stirring you up. You know what? You've probably never thought about this, but God's put a gift of faith on your life. If you started to speak, if you started to pray, if you started to believe that God might move through you, I'm stirring up. I'm seeing something that's in you that you haven't even realized. I'm stirring it up. I'm encouraging it. I'm strengthening it. If you see someone that's timid, speak faith and boldness over them. If you see somebody that's disheartened and down, you could bring the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that God never leaves you or forsakes you, that God is with you, that he's your healer and your comforter. You can start to prophesy that over them. And that all sounds very churchy, right? That fits right here within this context. But do you know you can do that to your friends? Do you know you can do that in your workplace? You don't have to start with, the Lord says this to me, and he needs me to tell you that. You could just start to say, Holy Spirit, what have you put in them that I could encourage? Holy Spirit, what would you say right now? Can I say it on your behalf? How could I encourage them? How could I strengthen them? How could I comfort them and cheer them up? Because that's God's heart for us, and it's his heart for them as well. What if I started to align my words with the truth of the Word of God and with his heart for the people around me? What if I decided I won't be careless in the moment? I won't just identify with your frustration, but I'll try to lead you out of it. What if I don't side with you when you're offended, but actually lead you towards forgiveness and then strengthen you, encourage you in that? What if I start to see the gifts of God in your life and help you to live according to them, even when it's not in church? It's pretty crazy, right? But can you imagine if you were in your workplace and you were known as the most encouraging person in the workplace? What if you were the person that people went to when they were discouraged because you were going to build them up in the Lord? What if you were going to strengthen them because you saw the gifts of God in your life and you were like, I'm going to help you grow in that even more? What if you could bring peace to a troubled mind because you are allowing your words to serve the people around you? And number seven, so we can all be happy. Do you know you can serve people with your influence? I think it's so easy in our own lives, particularly when we begin to achieve or do things that we're proud of, to start to see others as a little bit less. It's not intentional. It's very un-Christ-like. But we think, you know what? I had to work hard to get here. They should have to work hard too. You know what? I went through the school of hard knocks. Let them fight for it as well. And we start to see ourselves as separate from those that are still trying. We see ourselves probably even a bit better, if I'm honest. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Paul writes and he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others as more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. With all that you have achieved, whether it's a lot or whether it's a little, in your friendships, amongst your circles, in your connections, could you use it to make a way for somebody else? Could you open a door that they couldn't open by themselves? Could you create an opportunity for somebody to work or to learn or to try? Could you use your influence to make the way smoother for those that follow behind, instead of sitting back from a position of achievement and saying, good luck getting to where I am? Maybe you could start to make a way for those that are coming up behind. I love the Apostle Paul's heart. He's being held prisoner in Rome, and he's writing letters to the church, encouraging them, not knowing whether he's going to live or die. And he sends a letter to Philemon. It's being carried by a man called Onesimus. And now you need to know Onesimus was actually a runaway slave that had fled from Philemon's house and gone and done his own thing and was deserving death. There's no way that this Onesimus wanted to go back to his hometown or to his own life. He didn't know how he would be received. He didn't know what would happen, whether he would be alive or dead. But he encountered the gospel and he spends time with Paul in Rome. And Paul sends him back, this runaway slave. And I love these final words because they made it into the Bible. This demonstrates God's heart in these words. And Paul writes and commends Onesimus. Do we have that verse up on the screen? This is what he says. He says, "This is why I'm boldly asking a favor for you, from you, Philemon. What do I want you to do? I've got no right to ask this. I'm not even going to be there. I'm a prisoner in my own right now." But he says, "I appeal to you, show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while I was here in prison. Accept him, love him, restore him. Don't see him as a slave, see him as a brother in Christ." I just love that in his last days, Paul was making a way for somebody else, using his influence, using his opportunities, using everything that he had won and earned. It's his reputation on the line here right now. "I'm going to use it to commend to you my son in the faith, Onesimus. Would you accept him back and restore him?" I want you to ask yourself right now, with everything that I have, with the opportunities that I have, with the experience that I have, how could I use my influence to help somebody else? It could be as simple as introducing somebody to a friend. It could be as simple as making a recommendation for a job. It could be as simple as saying, "Hey, why don't you try over here? Because I heard something that might be helpful to you." Could my life make a way for somebody else? Has everything that I've learned and earned, could it make a way for somebody else to go beyond even where I'm at? Because the reality is, every single one of us, we're just here tonight because we have been forever changed by the goodness of God. We were lost. We were far away. We were without hope. We didn't deserve anything. Jesus came to save us. He came to serve us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords laid down his rights to meet our needs. And he calls us, "Would you do the same? Would you stop being so caught up in everything that you deserve, everything that you have a right to hold on to? Would you lay it down? Could you use it, in fact, to serve and bless others that they would encounter me through you?" He's called us. Would you be committed to serving? I think serving others is how we serve the Lord. This is our opportunity. We worship him as we serve others. We bring him glory as we serve others. We allow others the opportunity to know him personally as we express his love and his goodness, even when it's not deserved. So let's be committed. We're going to serve in his house because we love and we serve the Lord. But even beyond that, let's be committed outside of these walls, outside of our services and the times that we get together as family. Could we be just as committed? I'm going to serve God by serving others. I'm going to love him by loving the people he placed around me. I'm going to demonstrate his goodness as often as I can with everything that he's given me, because it's who he's called me to be. And I'm following after him. And in every moment, I don't get it right all the time, but I'm trying to just be more and more like him every day. He's my example and I'm imitating him. So I want you to ask yourself tonight, do you have capacity? Do you have ability? Is there something that you could just do because you can do it, that you could use to serve others? Do you own things that you could use, lend them, give them? Are you carrying things around with you because they're yours when really they could be used to serve and bless others? Have you got any time in your life to give to others so that you could serve them? When are you going to stand and pray with somebody instead of just telling them that you'll do it? Do you have capacity to stop and to just genuinely care? Stop the busyness, stop the hustle, stop getting to where you need to be and just stop and see and care with people in that moment. Have you got words to share? Words that will encourage and strengthen and comfort. Could you start to align your language thoughtfully, intentionally with the word of God and his heart for the people around you? And have you got some influence? And are you growing in influence? And are you using it to make yourself look good? Or might you use it to make a way for others? I know these are simple things, but they're important questions for us to ask. It'll help us to see what we have in our hands. It'll help us to see the opportunity that God has already given us to serve others, and in doing so, serve him. I just love that there's this time where God encounters Moses out in the wilderness. And he says, Moses, I've got a little job for you, just nothing big. But if you could just pop back into Egypt and lead a nation out of captivity, it's cool. Probably have it done pretty quickly. But Moses naturally responds and he says, God, I'm not qualified. God, I don't have what it takes. I can't even speak good. I don't have enough. And God says, well, what have you got in your hand? And we like to dress it up as like a shepherd's staff. No, it's a big stick. Like, it just shows that men really don't grow up. What's Moses doing? He's out in the desert and he's found a stick. But you know, Moses and his stick was enough for God to lead a nation out of captivity. If Moses can do that with nothing but a stick in his hand, what might God do in your life? If you just said, God, with everything that you have given me, God, with all the abundance and the blessing, with all my time, with all my care, with everything that I've learned, everything that I know, with the wealth that I have, God, what could you do? If we started to approach life like that, God would do so much more than we can imagine. God could move so powerfully as we just say, I'm dedicated, I'm committed, I'm purposing myself to living a life that serves others. In a moment, I want to stop and pray, because I'm expecting tonight that as we leave here, God is going to speak to you. God is going to show you opportunity that you have to serve others, because we're going to ask him to. It's the kind of prayer he loves, because if you ask him, God, what could I do? He's going to tell you, because it's his desire that you would grow to be more like him. It's his desire that we would learn to serve others the way that he served us. So we're going to stand and pray together as a church that he would speak. But before we do, I'm aware that God's greatest desire and the reason that he came to serve us is that we would know him. That we wouldn't try and live life our own way, but we would learn to live life his way. That we would encounter his love in a way that completely transforms us. And that we would give our life to him. He'd show us who we truly are and we'd learn to walk in that way. But it begins with this simple moment when you say, God, I acknowledge who you are and I invite you, would you be Lord of my life? That's how we know him. Maybe you're here today and you said, I've never had an opportunity to personally know and encounter the presence of God. I've never heard his voice. I've never prayed and invited him into my life to make him my Lord and Savior. But tonight you can. Tonight is the moment where you could pray and say, Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Help me to live a life that follows after you. Because you don't have to do it by yourself. He says he'll come and he'll do it with you. But it begins with this moment of prayer. God, I'm giving you my life. So before we pray together, if that's you tonight, just as our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, if you're here and you say, Dan, that's me, I need to pray that prayer. I need to invite God into my life and make him my Lord. I'd love to lead you in a prayer. I'd just love to know who I'm praying with. So if it's you tonight, would you be so bold as to just give me a quick wave? I'll see your hand and you can put it right back down again. But I would love to lead you in a personal prayer, inviting Jesus into your life today. Is there anybody that says, Dan, it's me, would you pray with me? It's a moment of choosing. I'm going to follow after you. It's a moment of encounter that will leave you forever changed, never the same again. Just before we close, is there anybody here that says, Dan, pray with me? Cool. Hey, why don't we stand to our feet as we close? Because I believe that every single one of us has so much more opportunity than we can imagine to serve. It's easier than you thought. It's probably in some ways less than you thought, but so much, it'll result in so much more than you could imagine if you just decide, God, with everything that I have, small as it is, would you use it? So why don't you, just as we pray, why don't you hold your hands out like this? I'm believing that God's going to speak to you in this moment about everything that he has put in your hand. I believe that he's going to speak to you about how you could use it. I believe that he's going to anoint it afresh. It would be like Moses' staff, touched by God, able to accomplish everything that he purposes it to. Father, as we stand here in this moment, Lord, we just commit to serving you. And to serving others. Lord, as we follow after you, our greatest desire is that we would be more like you, that we would do more like you would do. Lord, our desire is that you would be, Lord, that you would be glorified by it, that it would be an expression of our worship, but more than that, that people in our world would encounter your presence through it, that they would experience your love and your grace and your mercy just the same way as we have. In this moment, Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, would you just reveal afresh the opportunities that you've placed in front of us? Holy Spirit, would you speak to us about opportunities that we have even this week? The things that you've placed in our hand, our ability, our time, our capacity, Lord, even our finances, how can we use it? Our belongings. Lord, we commit to praying and caring. And using our influence, Father, to make a way for others. Lord, I'm believing that even as we go, Lord, we're going to see the opportunity. And I pray that as we see it, there would be faith to respond. And out of it, Lord, I just thank you for testimonies of transformation. I thank you for testimonies of healing and freedom, of miraculous provision. Father, I thank you that we are going to see salvation as we simply follow after you and do what you would do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray that you and your family are richly blessed by the love and grace of Jesus. If you're ever in the area, we would love for you to join us for Sunday worship.